Welcome to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with pastors Errol Beckford and Diana Robinson from Celebration Tabernacle Church in Cocoa. Tune in daily, Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. on WMIE. Are you looking for a place to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially? At Celebration Tabernacle Church, our vision is to raise up people who will disciple, inspire, and encourage others because they have been transformed by the Word of God, overcome their own adversity, and mature to their highest potential and calling. Experience glorious worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in it.
We hope you enjoyed yesterday's sermon segment that was played. That was from Celebration Tabernacle Sunday service. So we want to invite you to join us every Sunday at Celebration Tabernacle Church at 10 a.m. if you do not have a home church. So at Celebration Tabernacle, we have powerful praise and worship. We have a great time of dance with the children with the flags and such, all at the altar during praise. We have a children's church for ages 3 through 11. So bring your whole family with you. Your children will go to children's church for part of the time so that you can fully partake in the service as pastor ministers the Word of God. And on Easter morning, if you have not committed to going to a specific church on Easter morning, we want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle Church's Easter service, which is going to be at the Space Coast Convention Center in the city of Cocoa. The crossroad is 520 and Interstate 95 on Tucker Lane. The Space Coast Convention Center will be having a 10 a.m. service, which includes a dramatic play called Follow the Yellow Brick Road, and that's going to represent the road of salvation, Jesus's road through the crucifixion and the resurrection. So come on out. It is for all ages. It's going to be a great celebration, and we hope to see you there.
Yes, I can't wait for what is going to take place on the 20th, Easter Sunday morning. And as we think about it and think about our message all this week, and go ye therefore and teach all nation, and the gospel, what are we supposed to teach? The good news. And Easter is a reminder, and Easter Sunday is a reminder that Jesus Christ died so that we all have this access to the Father. Jesus declared, he says, I am the door to the kingdom. He says, I'm the door by which you have to enter through. So when he died on that cross, he opened up the door of salvation for all humanity. And the word is still the gospel, but the word of John chapter 3 verse 16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was it. For God so loved that he gave his son. His son gave up his life so that we now can believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus declared that he's the door. He's the door into the kingdom. He's the door into eternal life. So all we got to do, come to him. Say, no one cometh unto the Father unless he come through me. We can't get in without him. So that's a great reminder. And what a great, great play that is going to take place on Easter Sunday morning. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. You got to come out and find it. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. If you're searching for the way to the cross, then on Easter Sunday morning, you will see it. And I hope so many invite your friends. Start to tell them it's 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Where? On Tucker Lane. Right? At the Space Coast Convention Center. Start to invite your friend. Tell everyone. The 20th is right around the corner.
We were looking at Peter. We're looking at his transformation on Tuesday where we left off. He went from denying that he even knew Jesus, to boldly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel, going through the scriptures. He's bringing back, the Holy Spirit did what the Holy Spirit said that the Holy Spirit does, brought back into his remembrance scriptures. He begins to minister effectively. He goes back through words that were given previously, and he's declaring them into the situation. But he started out as denying at the crucifixion that he even knew Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, it says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.'"
Yeah.
"But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.'" So this happens three different times where he denies. It's in verse 73, it says, "And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.'" So what does he do? He starts to curse and swear and say, "I don't know the man."
Yeah.
Immediately a rooster crowed, and then he remembered what Jesus said: "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he wept bitterly. So that's what's happening when Jesus is facing the crucifixion. Peter, he is falling back and he's denying that he even knows Christ. So he's transformed a short time later, because some of you think, "Oh, well, that's a lot of pages later."
No.
It wasn't a long time later, because you have the crucifixion,
yes,
then you have the resurrection 3 days later,
yes,
then 40 days later, you have the ascension, where Jesus goes to heaven. They see him going up, and then 10 days later, they're praying, and the Holy Spirit is released.
Yeah.
So this is less than 2 months
that his whole life
is transformed.
Yes.
So now the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and in Acts chapter 2, when the people were trying to say that the apostles and such were drunk where they were praying and enjoying themselves, verse 16, he says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel."
Hmm.
So he goes through the scriptures from Joel. Then he comes in verse 25 and he says, "For David said concerning him."
Yes.
So he's going all the way back through the scriptures, scriptures that he studied before, but he couldn't live.
Yes.
He didn't just learn these scriptures in 50 days.
No.
He had studied these scriptures at some point. Now the Holy Spirit is doing what the Holy Spirit says he's going to do: bring the word into remembrance. So when Peter now is being opposed for the great works that are taking place through the power of God, his response is the word of God. So he begins now to declare the word, and he goes through powerfully. He gives the account of everything that transpired up to that point to the promise now of the helper. In verse 39, he says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So he is ministering through power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
50 days after.
50 days. And if you notice, when Jesus, what was he teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28 to him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, "Teaching them to observe what? All things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, and Acts chapter 2, Peter was saying it now. He was demonstrating it. He says, "What you see is what the prophet Joel prophesied. What you see is what David says." Okay? So he did not learn that just in 10 days, you know, between Jesus going to heaven and the Lord of the harvest appear. He knew this.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to him 50 days before at the cross, when Jesus was up on the cross and they said, "You were with this man. What happened there?" He says, "No, I wasn't. I don't know him." Because he lacked one thing, Pastor Emily and Pastor Dan. This is what he lacked in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall what? Receive power. In Acts chapter 1, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. He lacked that. Mm-hmm. At that day, at the crucifixion, he did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. He could not be a witness there. But after coming in Acts chapter 1 and praying, and we see now the Holy Spirit enters all that, because the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. It says, but you shall what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, we see exactly that the Holy Spirit came upon them.
In Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, where it tells us after the rooster crowed that Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly.
That's exactly.
And now if we go into Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent.
Yeah.
So he saw what he did wrong.
Yeah.
He went out, he wept bitterly, and he repented.
Yes.
Because we know that Judas had also betrayed Jesus, and he didn't repent.
He didn't.
His sorrow overtook him to the point of suicide. But now here's Peter, who transgressed against him, but he repents. He finds the refreshing in the presence of the Lord, where Judas allowed the shame to overtake him, and he killed himself.
Yes.
So Peter now, he says in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he acknowledges the Holy Spirit as a gift. We don't earn a gift. We receive a gift. We utilize a gift. When somebody gives you a gift, you have a choice. Are you going to open it and use it, or are you going to put it up on the shelf somewhere? Because if you put it up on the shelf somewhere, you're never going to benefit from what's in that box, utilizing that gift. So he's telling us that we will receive, repent, he said, and let each one of you be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then when we go into Acts chapter 3, verse 19, again, they say, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So it's given us a pattern here. After repentance, the sins, it says, are blotted out, and times of refreshing come. Where? In the presence of the Lord. So we can't allow our sin and our shame to separate us from God. Make your day count.
Thank you for joining us for our Make Your Day Count broadcast. Come and grow with us as we go forward this year. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Make
Are
a day
you looking
count. For a place to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially? At Celebration Tabernacle Church, our vision is to raise up people who will disciple, inspire, and encourage others because they have been transformed by the Word of God, overcome their own adversity, and mature to their highest potential and calling. Experience glorious worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Celebration Tabernacle Church. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.